Hello, I'm Jim Moore of the Research and Statistics Group at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Expectations about future inflation are often thought to play a role in household spending and savings decisions. The public's outlook on inflation is also important to central bankers, who may take it into account when deciding on policy or evaluating the effectiveness of their communications. To help improve existing survey measures of inflation expectations, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in late 2006 joined with the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland and other partners to identify a set of questions that would elicit more reliable information on consumers' inflation and wage expectations. This initiative, known as the Household Inflation Expectations Project, has led to the development of an experimental survey that has been administered to a group of about 400 respondents at roughly six-week intervals over the past 3 years. Recently, key participants in the project described their survey and its findings in an article in the New York Fed's Current Issues in Economics and Finance. Here with me today to discuss the article are two of the authors, both economists at the New York Fed, Giorgio Toppa and Wilbert Vanderklau. Please note that the views expressed in this interview are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the position of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York or the Federal Reserve System. Wilbert, tell us a bit about the Inflation Expectations Project. What are the goals of the project and what have you done so far?
Well, Jim, the main overall goal of the project is to improve the measurement of inflation expectations. And we try to do that in two different ways. First, we try to improve our understanding of existing measures of inflation expectations. And secondly, we try to come up with new, more reliable measures. But let me be a bit more specific. The project to date is consisted of three different stages. In the first two stages, we conducted a set of interviews, both telephone and internet interviews, in which we asked people existing questions about inflation expectations and tried to see how they interpret the questions and how their interpretations affected their answers. We also tested a set of alternative questions, and we piloted some new questions about wage expectations and inflation uncertainty. Then in the third stage, we used the information that we obtained from the earlier two stages to design a new experimental survey of inflation expectations. We have now conducted every roughly 6 weeks since the end of 2007.
The chief source of information on consumer inflation expectations now is the Reuters University of Michigan Survey of Consumers. But this, as you note in the article, this source has some limitations. Giorgio, what are these limitations and how does your survey overcome them?
Jim, in our pilot interviews and surveys, we found that the wording of the Michigan question can lead different people to give different interpretations. So for instance, some people might think about the prices of things that they themselves purchase, whereas other people might think about the overall price level. This can be problematic because it can lead to a lot of variability in inflation expectations depending on what specific prices people are thinking about. For instance, some people might think about the price of gas or the price of food when they give their answer for inflation expectations because these are the most frequent purchases that they make. So to address this issue, we experimented with a different wording of the question that asks directly about the rate of inflation. And we found that this alternative wording can actually elicit much more focused and homogeneous interpretations, and therefore we get a cleaner measure of inflation expectations. The second limitation of the Michigan survey is that when they're asked to give a point estimate for inflation, respondents are forced to give a specific number, like 2% or 3% inflation. And instead, sometimes respondents actually want to give a measure of uncertainty in their expectations, and we ourselves want to gauge the degree of confidence or uncertainty that people have in their forecasts. So we designed these alternative questions that actually elicit the entire forecast distribution from a respondent. And therefore, we can construct a measure of uncertainty by looking at how concentrated or how dispersed this distribution is. The third limitation of the Michigan survey is that respondents are only interviewed once or at most twice, and therefore it's very hard to see how the same person can change their expectations. So in our survey, we actually follow the same set of people over time, and therefore we can see how the same individual updates his or her expectations depending on changes in the economy or news that might come in. or even announcements from the central bank. And then the final limitation of the Michigan survey is that it doesn't collect any information about wages. And as Ben Bernanke has stated several times, we at the Fed are actually very keen on getting a handle on what people expect about growth in future wages. So we included some questions in our survey to directly get at people's expectations in terms of growth in future wages.
Right. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke has said that having better measures of the public's inflation expectations would help central bankers to conduct monetary policy and to better understand economic behavior. Wilbert, why is this the case?
Well, central bankers are interested in the public's expectations of inflation for a number of different reasons. First, data on inflation expectations are used to help forecast future inflation. So businesses, when they set prices for the goods they sell, they want to take account of what they expect to happen with the overall price level. Workers and unions, in their wage negotiations, would take into account their expectation of what's going to happen with future inflation in setting wages, and with that affecting future prices. Data on inflation expectations are also useful to forecast consumer decisions and economic activity. So let me give you an example where inflation expectations might affect savings and spending decisions. So a heating oil company might offer their customers two different contracts, one in which the rate that they charge for heating oil is fixed at the current rate, and an alternative where the price of heating oil varies with the market price of oil. And consumers will have to make a choice between these two different contracts, taking into account what they are expecting to happen with prices in the future, in this case, the price of oil. A third reason that central bankers are interested in data on consumers' inflation expectations is it provides them a way of monitoring how policy actions and policy communications affect inflation expectations. And that information is very useful to assess their credibility and also to assess the effectiveness of their communication strategy.
Giorgio, what trends have we seen in the survey data so far?
So in terms of levels of expectations, we've seen a run-up in inflation expectations during 2008, and then a sharp drop in the fall of 2008 in the aftermath of the financial crisis. In that period, we also observed somewhat of a deflation scare, especially for high-income and high-education respondents. Since then, so since about the beginning of 2009, inflation expectations have remained very stable, even though at a low level, and the deflation scare has abated considerably. In terms of uncertainty, we've also seen a somewhat elevated level of inflation uncertainty during the course of 2008, but again, that has decreased and it's been very stable since then. I should also mention that in our experimental survey, we track both short-term and medium-term expectations. So we also look at what people expect over a three-year horizon. And in terms of this longer horizon, again, both in terms of levels and uncertainty about future inflation, we see a very stable behavior in the past year or so. And finally, in terms of wages, we see that people expect a very little increase in future nominal wages, actually lower than what they expect for inflation, and therefore they expect somewhat of a decrease in real wages. And this is consistent with the weakness that we've observed in the labor market so far.
Thank you, Wilbert and Giorgio, for telling us about this important project. The current issue article, Improving Survey Measures of Household Inflation Expectations, co-authored by Wendy Bruin de Bruin, Simon Potter and Robert Rich, is available online at www.newyorkfed.org.